Please be seated. Let us all say amen. I don't know about you, but that is my song. It gives me the comfort and reassurance on this time side of life that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so therefore, it behooves me and it behooves you to really stop and think about where you plan to spend eternity. Once again, it is so good to see each and every one of you. I have had a great time this week feasting on the Word of God. And you know something about these last three nights? I haven't gotten in trouble. You know, it's just something about when you hang out with God and you hang out with His people. You know, Satan has a tendency to leave you alone. Although he's tried in many areas to upset us, but I'm learning that the safety that I have in Christ Jesus, Satan has not any opportunity. For the past couple nights, we have been talking in this book of Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, where Paul writes these words to encourage the believers. Monday night, my son from the Hawthorne Church of Christ did an excellent background on the book of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. The first three chapters talk about the grace of God, and these last three chapters talk about now be dutiful in the grace that God has bestowed upon you. And I'm learning, church, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ Jesus. And so he did an excellent job walking through the background of this book with the title, Walk It Out. Amen. Yes. If there's ever been a time that God's people need to walk out the gospel, look at the world in which we live in. Look at the mess that's going on in our world, and look at how we, as God's people, take real lightly our responsibility. And then last night, accept the challenge. It's what Matthew talked about. And how, as God's people, we have an obligation, and we accepted the challenge when? When we went into this watery grave. Amen. And so I want to encourage you tonight as we conclude with this series of lessons. I have a title called, What is Your Spirit Type? And I want to show you from this text something I've been looking at and dealing with to remind me and to encourage me that as a God's people, we need to stay on track. Thank Nicholas once again for reading of that scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. That of the Lord means I'm in Christ Jesus. Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then Paul goes on to say, and all things are of God who has reconciled us. If we have been reconciled, should we act like it?
Yeah.
Should we let the world know that there's a better way? And that way is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right. And so Paul says he's a prisoner of the Lord. And then he says, I plead with you. I beg you to do what? To walk worthy of your calling.
Amen.
If there's ever been a time in the midst of all this mess that's going on around us, you and I ought to have it together.
Amen.
If no one else has it together, we ought to have it together. Why? Because of who we are and what we have obeyed. And so he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. And then he tells us how to do it. It calls for an attitude.
Yes.
Amen. Do we need some attitude adjustments?
Yes.
Look at all these blue chairs.
Well,
we need some attitude adjustments. Folks need to understand that when it's time to do kingdom business, no other business on the face of the earth is more important. And when he talked about walk it out, accept the challenge, you know, how can you accept something and walk something out if you're missing an action? I don't know about you. When I obeyed Uncle Sam, I look for somebody that had my back. And if you're missing an action, I know good and well you ain't got my back. And I want to show you as I put together this little lesson, something that I hope and pray that will help you in your Christian walk. He says, with all loneliness, meekness, long. How long is long?
Long
suffering. And then he says, forbearing one another, how? In love. Verse number 3 is where I'm going to take my text from. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavors there means to expand your activities. If you're doing something in the Lord, do some more. If you're teaching, teach some more. If you're not doing anything, it's time for you to get busy. Yeah. That word there, endeavor, means try harder. It also means apply yourself more every single day. Right. I'm learning that if you want to stay on the right track, you got to open up this book daily. That's right. That's why the psalmist would say, Psalms division 1 verses 1 through 6, the psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Where is our delight? Our delight is in everything but the law of the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's be honest. Because see, when you have a delight for the Lord, you know what? Nothing stops you. Nothing hinders you in your Christian walk. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the psalmist said he meditates day and night. And I told you, if anybody has it together, it ought to be us. He said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, I'm learning something. When you understand what really transpired in this water, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. It takes on something that you and I should understand, that nothing or no one on this time side of life can hinder us but ourselves. And Jesus said, if you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, guess what? You won't even be hindered by your own self. Amen. That word endeavor means to apply oneself more. It also means to do your best, to do your utmost, to give your all.
Yes.
Could you imagine if you were married to someone and they didn't give you your all? How long would you be married? Not long, huh? You're married to Christ. In case you didn't know that, Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 30, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife. They two shall be one. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That word church there, ecclesia, he's talking about you and I, the called out believers. If we are the bride of Christ, boy, have we divorced it? Have we played the harlot? See, and it's things like this that we don't want to think about, because everybody's sitting up in here thinking, well, all right, huh? Yeah. You know I think I'm all right because I've measured myself by myself.
Yeah.
And when you measure yourself by yourself, you think you're all right. No, that word there, endeavor, means to do your best.
Yeah.
To do your best. The next word, unity. It's a state of being united or being part of a whole. And I want to show you something. When he talks about being united in the bond of peace, that word bond there means we are bound to Jesus Christ. And how are we bound? When we went into this watery grave. When we went into the watery grave, we are bound to Jesus Christ. Because we've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, church, we are bound. And I want to show you something. That unity only comes when we understand the spirit that we really have. The Father set the stage. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, the Bible says, and let us... You talk about some unity. I'm so glad us did not make me different than what I am.
Yeah.
Let us make man how? In our own image. I want to encourage our hearts this evening. As we look at this word, spiritual type, I raise the question, do you really understand what kind of spirit you really have? And I'm learning that in order to understand what kind of spirit you have, you got to understand where the spirit comes from. First John chapter 5 and round about verse number 7. John said, for thee, there are three that bears witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear record in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you this evening that as you ask yourself what type of spirit you have, I want to encourage you to listen to these few things that I put together. See, I'm learning to find out what kind of spirit Stan had. I had to use an analogy. I'm going to use an analogy this evening.
Right.
You know, in order to find out what's your blood type,
right,
you must first and foremost do what? Give up. Come on, y'all. You got to give up some blood.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Now, if you really understand what I'm going to go, when you went in the water, did you have to give up something? And in that water, what did you connect with? The blood. So in order to find out what type of blood type you have, you have to give up some blood. And what do they do with the blood that you give? They test the blood. And as they test this blood, some will come out A, some will come out B, some will come out AB, and some will come out O, some will come out O negative. All of these different types. In order for you to really know what type of spirit you have, you have to understand and test the spirit that you have. God, through his son, took our sinful blood, our sinful nature, and connected it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's some powerful stuff. And now that I'm connected to Jesus Christ, what type of spirit should I have? Is it an A? Is it a B? Is it an AB? No. It's an O. Because you know what an O is? Universal donor.
That's right.
And we're a universal church. That's why when it comes to talking to people, when it comes to walking in the light, church, there's not a person we cannot get close to talk to about Jesus Christ. But the question is, do we understand what type of blood we are? We are the blood of the living God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You're looking at me kind of funny. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you something. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, you know, it's impossible, the Bible says, for the blood of goats and bulls to take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
Verse number 4, the Bible says, for it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away the sins. Wherefore he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice of sin thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came and died on a cross. He gave up his blood.
That's right.
And when we go in this watery grave, we connect with the blood of Christ and he cleanse us from all our iniquities and all of our sins. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us.
That's right.
Into the kingdom of his dear son. Church, you and I, if anyone has the right to be excited and to hoop and holler, it ought to be us.
Amen.
But you know something? We're so quiet about who we are that we just don't understand. And last night, Matt hit me with that passage of scripture I've read 100 times where the Hebrew writer said, the world is not worthy to receive us. Powerful passage of scripture. And so this evening, I want to encourage us and remind us that now that we're part of the body of Christ, we have the blood of Christ that connects us, that unites us as one. That's why Paul would say these words in Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 4. There is what? One body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. And guess what? He's in each and every one of us. So if God is inside of us, why do we have so many issues? If God is where he belongs in our lives, why do we go through so many unnecessary changes? I'll tell you why. John said it best, I believe. 1 John chapter 2 and round about verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And I believe the reason why we have so many issues in our Christian walk, the world has more say-so in our lives than the Lord and Savior of our lives. And I want to show you this evening that when we surrender our will to the will of the Father, and the way we do that is by being obedient to what he requires of us. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and round about verse number 12, listen to what Paul says. Paul says that at the time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's how I used to be. But the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye are sometimes were afar off, are made now nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. Just like you got to find out what your blood type is, you need to ask yourself, what's my spiritual type?
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say I walk in the light as he is in the light, but when the rubber meets the road, where are you really? So the question is, what is your spiritual type? And I'm learning, in order to understand your spiritual type, you got to test your own spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1 John chapter 4 and round about verse number 1, John says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Oh, anybody in here got a couple spirits from time to time? Yes, I know we do. And so John says, believe not every spirit, but rather what? Test it, try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now that's interesting there. Because in Matthew chapter 10 and round about verse number 32, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, Jesus says, I will deny you before my Father. You know, it's amazing that we say we are children of the Most High God. We say we are Christians, but do our life live up to what we say we are? And I want to show you, Jesus said something about individuals that say they are and are not. See, I believe that as God's people, the Father showed us unity in the beginning when he created all of humanity. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you and I obey from the heart the gospel, we connect with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he cleanses us from all our sins and iniquities. In Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 16, the connection is his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Real quickly, let's test your spirit for the next few minutes. Test number one, in serving the Lord, what's your spirit type? Is it doing and teaching, or is it just coming and sitting? Is it? And Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46, Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Number two, let's test it. Does your spirit lead by example or just mere lip service? Matthew chapter 15 and round about verse number 7. Jesus says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy saying, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that cometh out of a man of the mouth defiles a man. Is your spirit obedient or disobedient? See, Jesus had an obedient spirit. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. What really guides you in your everyday life? Are you guided by the Spirit of God? And I'm learning that when you understand the Spirit of God, God's Spirit guides us. It helps us to stay on the right track. Paul would say these words in Romans chapter 8 to encourage the believer and to remind the believer. Our spirit type ought to be evident to everyone we come in contact with. That's why when it's time to do what God says to do, the Spirit of God that lives in us ought to change our mind. Amen. You know, Satan is out to destroy us, church.
Yes.
And he wants to destroy us with the simplest things. And that's that little bitty thing right here.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he knows how to get it going in our everyday life. And look at Romans chapter 8. And round about verse number 1, Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free. Do we act like we're free people in Christ? Huh? When the world dictates to us, are we really free? Because Paul here says, for the life, the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ have made us free. So when it's time to do kingdom business, no other business on the face of the earth ought to be important to us. Look at what he says in verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And let me show you some spiritually minded things. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. So when the first day of the week roll around, you don't have to wrestle whether or not you're coming. Why? Because if you got the true Spirit of God in you, you come with an attitude, with a mindset, and you're ready to do the will of the Father. Paul says, for they that are after the flesh do the mind the things of the flesh. For the things that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse number 6, he says, to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because carnal minded is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But you are not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If so, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of God, he's not his. Pretty powerful. I want to encourage us and remind us, just like you take your blood type, you need to ask yourself on a day-to-day basis, where do I really stand with the Spirit of God? He's given us the third person of the Godhead. And half of the things we go through, we don't have to. Amen. We know what sin is, don't we?
Yes.
Self-induced nonsense. And don't we get caught up in self-induced nonsense? Yes. And somewhere down the line as God's people, we must rise above the foolishness that the world has to offer. And finally, I believe in order to really find out our spiritual type, there are some questions we need to maybe ask ourselves. Does your spirit dwell in the truth? Do your spirit really dwell in the truth? You know, that passage of scripture we quote all the time, 2 Timothy 2:15. Huh? What does it say? What does it say? Huh? I can't hear y'all. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be what?
Perfect.
Perfect. That word there, perfect, means mature. Somewhere down the line, God's people need to grow up.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing. We tell our kids that all the time. Grow up. And we do just the opposite of what we tell them. Somewhere down the line, our spirit ought to dwell in the truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth. And what will the truth do? Set you free. And I'm learning that if you're free in Christ Jesus, you ought to act like free in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth. Because Paul says, you're dead. When do we die? When do we die? And your life is hidden with Christ in our Lord and Savior. I'm learning, church, that when we keep our minds focused on earthly, on heavenly things, the world that we live in will not have any chokehold on us. That's right. When I look at the church, not only here, but everywhere, it's amazing how we've obeyed from the heart the gospel, and the world has a chokehold on us. We pop in when we feel like it. We do. Ooh, y'all choir. I know that. I know that's some hard stuff, but somewhere down the line, if you're going to ask yourself, what's my spirit type? I got to stay with the truth.
Yes.
And I'm learning that when you stay with the truth, some people won't want to be bothered with you.
Amen.
Amen. Does your spirit not only dwell in the truth? How about that? Does it yield temptation? Or does it resist temptation? Or do you assist the temptation? Huh? Somewhere down the line is God's people. We are able to yield Satan and his devices, and I'm learning the only way you can do that is by a constant diet of the Word of God. I'm learning the more you study, the more you meditate, the more you apply the Word of God in your everyday life, you know what? Satan will leave you alone for a season.
Yeah.
Let's look at what James says. James chapter 4 and round about verse number 7. James says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil.
Mm-hmm.
and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and guess what? He will lift you up. I'm learning that my spirit type has to learn to resist Satan and his devices. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to have the mind of Christ. Yes. Amen. You know, people will make you upset at the drop of a hat if you let them.
Yes.
You're standing in the grocery store and they'll walk by you like you don't even exist.
Yes.
That's the time the Spirit of God has to be in you to not say those other words, but God bless you and move on about your business. I'm learning in order for us to do that, we must learn to yield our spirit in times of need. And the only way you're going to do that, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself. That's the problem in America. Nobody's humble and submissive. Everybody thinks they're all of that. And one thing I've learned, that when you die, it don't matter what you have or what you think you are, you're going to be dinner for the worms.
Amen.
And so therefore, as God's people, we need to learn to yield to temptation. And I'm learning the only way you're going to really yield to temptation, 1 Peter chapter 5. Round about verse number 5, Peter says, submit yourself to one another. Yea, all of you be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and he gives more grace to the humble. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God that he might exhort you in due time. Church, I'm learning that when we have that humble and submissive attitude, we'll show the world that we are children of the Most High God, because we'll show them the type of spirit that our Lord and Savior had. The Bible says when he was reviled, he never opened his mouth. He committed himself to him that was faithful. Not only should we stay with the truth, should we not yield to temptation? I like this one. Do we really practice what we preach? Huh? Y'all quiet. Do it. Do we really practice what we preach, or do we have a respect of persons? I'm learning it's real easy to have a respecter of persons. And I'm learning that as children of God, we must live up to what we said we would do. Everybody that went in this grave, watery grave over here, you volunteered and said, Lord, I will be willing to die for you. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
You don't remember the fine print that you didn't read? Yeah, we all said that we would be the best of what God would have us to be. And I'm learning, church, that in order for you to really do what God requires, you got to really practice what you preach. You expect the preacher to do that, don't you?
You do.
Amen, Wall. Y'all don't have to amen me. That's all right. Huh? Yeah. You expect me to be here on time, right?
Amen.
Matter of fact, you expect me to be here before time.
Yeah.
You better be motivated, better be enthused, and you better give me something that I can use. Amen, Walt. That's all right. I talked to the wall over here. But what about you?
Mm-hmm.
You dragging. How you doing? I'm trying to make it. I'm tired of folks trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hang around somebody that's made it.
Yes.
You went in the water.
Yes.
Who is he that can harm you if you be followers of what that is good?
Mm-hmm.
Peter says nothing can follower can harm us. Romans chapter 8. If God be... Huh? I mean, these are scriptures y'all use all the time that you don't believe. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us freely give us all things? And then Paul goes on to say, who can lay a charge against God's elect? Boy, you can charge me all day long. I stand unguilty. Because of the Savior that I serve.
Amen.
And then Paul goes on in that same text in Romans chapter 8, round about verse number 37. Paul said, yea, and all of what goes on around us, we are more than conquerors through him that love us.
Amen.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 57 and following, church, we even have the victory in death. Amen, Walls. That's why the child of God ought to live every day with expectations of getting up out of here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I know some of us are scared to death to even die. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51, Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkle of the eye. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those of us who are alive and well will be caught up in the sky. 57 says, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. We need some steadfast folk in the kingdom. We need individuals that are ready to step up to the plate and give their lives. That's what you said you'd do when you went in the water. What's your spirit type? A spirit type that we supposed to have is one that is prepared to show the world that Jesus is alive and well. And those of us who are members of the body of Christ, let me drop this in on you.
Yes.
God is going to hold you so accountable.
Yes.
James chapter 3, be not many teachers or preacher, for greater is your condemnation. And I always ask the question, how hot can hell be? I don't want to know, but I ask that question. Church, I want to encourage us that as children of God, what is your type? Are we staying with the truth? Are you yielding to temptation? Are you practicing what you preach? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24, the Bible says a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and humility, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and they may escape themselves out of the snares of the devil who have taken captive by him at his will. He ain't talking to the folk out there in the world. He's talking to you and I. Can you be in this thing and be in captivity? Yes. Ask yourself what type of spirit I got. Because see, when it's time for kingdom business, nothing on the face of the earth stops the child of God because he knows who he is. Do you practice what you preach, or are you a respecter of persons? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12. Listen to these words that Paul would tell this young gospel preacher. And no doubt Timothy was faced with many trials and tribulations. But Paul told Timothy, Timothy, no matter what transpires in your everyday life, you must be the example. You want to change the world we live in? Change yourself. Amen. And I'm learning that the only way the church is ever going to grow is every member of the body of Christ has to understand what transpired.
Yes.
God equipped us with everything we need.
Yes.
I heard somebody say on Monday evening, we're so spiritually rich, but we're spiritually bankrupt. Maybe not y'all. That's pretty powerful. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And round about verse number 11, he says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on hand of the Presbyterian. Paul says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, and that word there means that your lifestyle is evident to everybody you come in contact with. You know, I've asked you that question on many occasions. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Huh? Would there? And see, and that conviction comes with the people that you hang with.
Mm-hmm.
What does your next door neighbor say about you? Hmm? How about the people down the street? Oh, you know, those people we don't talk to? Maybe not y'all. But would we have enough evidence to be convicted of being a Christian? Paul said that thy profiting may be apparent to all. And I like verse 16. And I take verse 16 to heart. Paul says, take heed unto who?
Yourself.
That's why Joshua said, Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. As for me, no, before I go to my house, I got to be right. As for me, and then he says, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Paul says, take heed unto thyself. unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Very powerful, church. We have accepted the challenge. We have obeyed from the heart the gospel. The question is, are we living up to the spirit that God has given us? And if we live up to that spirit, guess what? God will help us to be victorious in our everyday life. Does your spirit on a day-to-day basis look forward to eternal salvation? Oh, yes. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so that tells me that every single day that he allows me to wake up, I ought to be thinking about leaving this time side of life. I know somebody want to stay here forever. But you know, some mornings I wake up with all the pain and this won't do this and this won't do this. Boy, sometimes I wonder. But do our spirit long to be with our Lord and Savior? Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, I'm torn. I'm struggling in my life because I'm torn between the twins. He says, it's far better to be with the Lord. I'd rather be with God. But I guess I need to be here for you. Paul struggled because Paul knew. See, eternal salvation ought to be something that the child of God ought to strive for every single day of his life. And I'm learning that when you stop and you think about eternity, that ought to bring about a totally different attitude and a mindset that we have. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, the Bible said, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What's your spiritual type? If I was to ask you what your blood type is, you would probably say A, B, AB, or O, or somewhere in between. A, what's your attitude? For those of you that are A's, what's your attitude? B, do you really believe? How about you ABs? Do you have the right attitude in your belief of who you say you are? And how about your O's? Are you really obedient to what thus saith the Lord? Church, I hope I said something this evening just to encourage your heart. I don't know about you, church. Life means an awful lot. But death means even more than life. And I've only learned that here because I really stop and look at what God has required of each and every one of us. In this text in Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 3, he says that we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I'm learning that when you and I lay aside those things that so easily beset us, and when we run the race that is set before us, and that's what the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, wherefore seeing we are passed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. How can you have joy going to the cross knowing that Jesus said, I lay down my life, I lay it down of my own, and I have permission to take it back up. And he says he's the author and finisher of my life. So if I lay down my life for him, guess what? He'll allow me to take it back up on the other side. And that's what drives me. That's what motivates me, to know that no matter what you think, I got a Lord and Savior that says, if you trust me, I take care of everything else. I'll make your enemies leave you alone, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Boy, only God can do that.
Yes, sir.
Hope I've said something just to encourage your heart. Those of you that are visiting this evening, if you're not part of the body of Christ, you've heard the word of God. Hope and pray you've received it in the spirit I've tried to present it. And then I want to just encourage us as members of the body of Christ, especially those of us who are at this location, it's time to get busy. It's time to go out and seek and save the lost and to make sure that we make our calling and election sure. If you're here this evening and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.